Well, it seems we all have options. It's nice to have options. You look through consumer reports, you see all the options and how they rank with one another. Cars or mattresses or coffee makers or decking, whatever, you know, it's all in there. They test it all, they rank it all next to each other. What's best? What's worst? Jeremiah gives us options in this from his, you may trust in human beings or you may trust in the Lord. And then he lists out the pros and the cons of each. Psalm number one gives us the same, gives us similar options. You may follow the counsel, the advice of the wicked, or you may follow the advice of the Lord. And there are pros and cons to each one. And then Jesus has his own list, right? Pros, cons. These lists are all similar, but they're not the same. And in fact, at least to me, some of the things in Jesus' list seem surprising. Let's start with Jeremiah. Jeremiah lists out the cons of trusting ultimately in human beings who seek their strength in flesh, either their own or someone else's. So when I hear this, I think of two types of people, examples of whom I know. Those who trust in their trust in flesh. The first are those who never go to the doctor. This is someone who believes he can do everything by himself. He trusts in his own flesh. He doesn't need anyone's help. And then he's surprised when illness comes or death comes. The second type of people who only trust in flesh and not in God are those who put their trust in other humans, putting their trust in the greatness of some person, some social leader, some cultural leader, some political leader. I remember seeing people when their candidates lose elections. I've seen fans get very angry when their television shows go away or the celebrities that they love on those shows, you know, they're out of the job or they're out of the public spotlight. In Jeremiah's words, these people enjoy no change in season. They can't stand the change from one person to another or from one time in their life to another. They are like a barren bush in the desert, according to Jeremiah. The alternative, Jeremiah says, is to trust in the Lord and to be like not a barren bush in the desert, but a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. Heat and the drought come and go. It doesn't bother it. It can roll with the punches. The changes of the seasons don't matter much to it because the source of its strength and energy is God. So Psalm 1, the first psalm here, says something similar. Where do you get your counsel from, your advice? From the wicked or from God? The wicked give advice, but the way of the wicked vanishes, according to that psalm. The way of the wicked vanishes eventually. So, you know, it starts with a 200% interest loan. And eventually, what was supposed to be a clear way out of debt becomes an inescapable pit of more loans and loan sharks and credit card debt. And now it's impossible to get out. It's supposed to be so clear, it just vanished. The way out is a maze now. Or what starts as one little white lie becomes a web of lies impossibly difficult to remember. Who did I tell what? I hope they don't all talk to one another, because then they'll realize that I told them each a different story. The way of the wicked vanishes. It's just impossible to find your way out of this web. But blessed the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. The Lord's ways are clear. Okay, but are they? Because then Jesus' list is a little bit more complicated. Here are the options. Blessed are you, woe to you. The Consumer Reports style pro and con evaluation is built right into this. But some of the things here are a bit unexpected. If you are poor, you are blessed. The kingdom is yours. If you are weeping, you are blessed, and you will laugh. If you are hungry, you are blessed, and you will receive food. Blessed are you who come to the food pantry. And woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. I've never gone hungry. I mean, I've fasted. You know, Lent's coming, we've all fasted. I've been hungry, but not to the point of malnourishment or having my growth stunted. So this passage scares me to some degree. I'm not afraid to fast during Lent. I'm afraid of dying to myself. I'm afraid of being a martyr. I'm afraid I regularly have everything I need. And that puts me more in the woe side than in the blessed side. So this sermon is, by Jesus, is more than a simple, oh, what goes around comes around. You know, everyone has their sorrows in life. This is more than just the Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, a time for a time for sadness and a time for laughing, and a time for... It's more than this. It's not just, well, you know, we are going to all have to suffer through the death of loved ones at some point. We are all going to have to be hungry at some point. It's more than that. What Jesus has to say is a warning. It's a warning that we can end up relying too much on the wrong things and not on God. It's a warning that we take our advice from the wrong sources and not from God, the creator of all, and who knows how it all works. Instead, we take advice from people who don't know how it all works. Cardinal Schönborn, who is in Austria, he has this analogy for it. And he talks about, well, he's had to deal with communism in his country, so it kind of mentions that a little bit. But he says, Karl Marx and his many disciples have protested against Jesus' Beatitudes. Jesus consoles the poor and the persecuted with a distant heaven instead of changing things right now, so that want and injustice disappear in this world, not merely in some new life or other. So the communist revolution was supposed to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Instead, it brought the gulags and many millions of victims who died of hunger, prison camps, persecution, and police terrorism. That was no paradise. Today, it is capitalism triumphing worldwide that seems to have been victorious. Its beatitudes are radically different from those that Jesus was proclaiming 2,000 years ago. Blessed are those who are successful, it says. Blessed is the fun society. Blessed are those whose name is in every mouth. Blessed are those whose motto is, heaven is wherever I am. Those who realize their ambitions and succeed in wellness are reckoned as blessed. Jesus does not turn his gaze away from those who are standing in the shadows of life. Nowadays, they are those who lose out in globalization, who are rationalized away and find themselves on the scrap heap, those who are orphaned by divorce, those whose handicapped lives are increasingly reckoned as unfit for living. Jesus' call is directed to all of them today. Society may exclude you, but in my eyes, you are completely worthwhile as people. Those who follow Jesus have to revise their scale of values radically. Success is good, but people are more important. Enjoying life is pleasant, but it is not everything. There are many things only trouble can teach us. I can learn a great deal if I look at the people whom Jesus called blessed.